And I was, I felt bad that I was buying you a physical disc, but I figured you'd get over it.
I'll figure something out. Why did I buy Star Trek physical too?
Oh, there's a demo for Moss on here.
Yeah.
Demo for Eve Valkyrie is probably all you need.
Oh, yeah. I kind of wish I played Moss first, because, I mean, that's basically also a 3D platformer, right?
Yeah.
But probably, like, might not. It's like, it was like, everyone was like, this is real good, then Astro Platform, I'm like, this is better.
Pretty much. But let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Welcome to the 500th Exploding Barrel Podcast.
What?
Wow. Wow. On December 10th, 2018, or 11th, I don't know you're putting this up. But yeah, this is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother AJ.
Hello, we're here. We did it.
We did it. 500 episodes. It's kind of funny because like we already did like the 10th anniversary special, so it's like...
Also, technically, because like we didn't number our E3 episodes sequentially, right. So we've done more than that. But hey, 500.
This is number 500. Suck it down, Daikatana, all this stuff. So, what have you learned in 500 episodes, Edge guy?
It's like Major Nelson and like a World of Warcraft podcast I listen to, The Instance, and that's about all I know of.
No, I meant like, what'd you learn? What do you think I meant? What do you say? What did you say?
I think.
What did Major Nelson have to do with anything?
I thought you were saying how many other podcasts have made it this far. What? I wasn't listening to you.
I've learned that we have a tremendous amount of chemistry after 500 episodes.
I like really just put words in your mouth there.
I was like, what are you talking about?
I don't know.
You're already thinking ahead of something. I was like, what did you learn? Major Nelson and some World of Warcraft podcast. What? Jesus.
Yes. Right. I've learned that we do this show real good.
We do good things, so... You should bring back the techie sound effects that we used to have for only the first episode.
Mike, did you prepare a quiz for me this week?
Oh man, I should have.
Well, good news. I've got this week's Rock Band DLC.
No, you're joking.
I am.
Thank God.
Although, give me a second. I'm sure there's something.
Please, no. Please, God.
And that used to be a weekly occurrence.
And hey, I hated it. There's a point where I was like, all right, no one, this isn't even relevant anymore. For a bit, it was, like, relevant, but annoyed me. Then a year after that, it was like, okay, please stop.
I remember pulling up that list of upcoming releases on GameSpot. Like, we have to tell people what's coming out. They can't get this anywhere else.
Right.
They can't go to GameSpot. I gotta do it for them.
It was always kind of weird, because there's always, like, it's like this age of, like, the digital games were just happening to be a thing, so you spill these things we never heard of. We're like, is this important? I don't know.
Oh, what was that game in the first episode? That the TurboGrafx game that came to the Virtual Console. It was a Zelda clone.
Oh, yeah.
Start with a Z.
Yeah, I keep wanting to call it Super Turrican, although that's obviously not right. But, yeah, I remember. If you go to our blog, it's like our second post.
Yes. That was like our only ever blog post.
Yeah, it turns out I have to write for other sites. I'm not writing for work all day and then going to go update the Exploding Barrel blog.
It's just a landing page for our anchor now.
Right. Well, hey. I mean, most blogs don't have, like... Not blogs, I mean, podcasts. They don't have, like, a website, really, anymore. Like,
you
they kind
of
do.
What do you need it for?
Right.
Show different. Notes.
I mean, our original, like, anchor idea was 1UP, and it was a site first, right? I mean, that's what all the podcasts were. They all belong to sites, which is still a thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the longest-running, like, video game podcast thingy is. I mean, Major Nelson's thing is a thing. Giant Bomb's been around for a bit now.
Not as long as us.
I'm sure like GameSpot has had a podcast the entire time, but it's like, you know, I'm sure right. It's like changed names. It's been different. Mm-hmm. All right then. Well, yes, yeah, so we're here. Nothing super special planned for, you know. Yeah.
It's the holidays. We're busy.
Right. Shiggy's right.
Smash Brothers.
Shigeru Miyamoto's right here.
Yay!
Yeah. Yeah, played a lot of Smash Brothers. I got a PlayStation VR for my birthday. Wow.
Wow.
And I got
such
some,
a maze.
So I got some thingies to talk there. And, but yeah.
And I'm going
to
talk about Starlink this week. Don't let me forget.
Yeah, you were going on and on.
Well,
Starlink, show gray. Starlink.
I had my checklist, and I started talking
you
about it.
You even made a list.
You changed the subject, but I already checked
fault.
It. Yes, it is your fault.
Maybe you shouldn't
back.
Check things that you haven't talked
I,
about
like,
yet.
I said the name, and I hit the button, and then you like changed the subject to something.
You need to check things off after they're done, not when you're about to start them.
Yeah. Lesson learned in life. Yeah, thank you.
There's something you've learned besides Major Nelson in some WoW podcast. Oh, God. Let's talk about Smash Brothers, I guess. Because, we've played a lot of Smash Brothers.
It's a pretty damn good game, yeah, it turns out.
The first 2 days, I played a total of, 18 hours or something, I think. Nuts. But, yeah, it's super fantastic. I mean, if you ever like Smash Brothers, this is the most Smash Brothers. I mean, there's going to be some people who, are still always going to like Melee the best because it was just so fast and kind of heavy and ridiculous. But this is faster than 4. It feels closer to Melee than that one did, and that one felt closer than Brawl, so we were like, this is almost more like Melee. This one's even more like that. Looks better, and the roster is just ridiculous.
It's stupid.
It's 74 characters, and
76 if you count Pokemon trainers, 3 super characters. Right?
But, I mean, it is a ton of characters to play as. It's super, it's hard to get bored playing the game, because, what are you going to get bored playing as all 74 characters?
Right. It used to be, in a night of Smash, my goal would be to try to play everybody once. You guys all have your mains and your secret mains and your tertiary
mains.
I'm at the point where I just like playing all the characters and messing around. I can't do that in this game. We played... Okay, so for everyone who might have been following along, we took Friday off. Everyone took Friday off work. Me, you, our brother Chris, our friends Dave and Perry. And we just stayed here all day and played Smash. I didn't get through every character.
No.
We played from 9 a.m. to 4, roughly. I didn't get through every character. It's insane.
I mean, the levels, it's not quite every character ever in every level ever, but it's most of them.
No, there's no Miiverse.
No, it's much to our friends, it's me. They took some amusement. I'm like, look, there's no Miiverse anymore. It wouldn't work now. But
other levels are missing?
Like Poke Floats.
Oh, yeah.
There's some other ones. And Poke Floats and Miiverse are the two I can always remember. But there are not many that are missing. And then the single player. I don't know how much World of Light you've played. The single player is gigantic.
I am on this fight against Dr. Wily that can go suck a dick.
That was the hardest one for me, too.
What the hell?
That one was very hard.
4 teams of 2 of these metal Mega Men who are just, you can't kill.
You might want to, because one of the skill tree things is deal more damage to metal opponents.
Oh, so I just got to come back when I have that.
Well, I didn't, so I'm cool.
Oh,
but
okay.
You can't. There's also, I think one of the, there's an assist trophy somewhere, though, that'll also give you that perk, so you can double up on it.
Yeah, so I'm just going through that base right now.
Yeah, but that was the hardest one for me. But that, I mean, it's the mode is huge.
It's massive. And, I'm sure, like someone complained, that they got rid of the 3D model trophies for these, essentially just pictures of spirits. But it's so fun. It's fun on two levels. Because first you're like, oh, wow, look, it's Top Man. Cool, he's in here.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, okay. It's like they the way they approximate things. Like, oh, what was the really clever one I saw?
Well, so my example that I loved was for Snake Man.
Mm-hmm.
To get the Snake Man trophy, you fight Snake.
Solid
Snake. Like, oh, that's kind of funny. And then, the only item is those bomb chews from, Majora's Mask, which in the game work just like Snake Man's, search snake weapon. I'm like, oh, wow. I mean, yeah, there's, it's just so clever seeing how they approximate all these spirits with what they have with, just the characters, making them bigger, smaller, or metal, changing their costume, all these really funny, clever things, even when you're talking about Dr. Wily, of course, Dr. Wily is represented by Dr. Mario, even, in the classic mode, there's a bit of that, what I loved was, I don't know if you've done a classic mode for anybody yet, but not they yet. Each have, their own,
progression,
their own set of stages. That kind of fit with them. So, if you're playing Pokemon, you're probably going to fight a lot of Pokemon people. And even the bosses will be different. Sometimes it's Master Hand. But, if you're Simon Belmont, you'll fight Dracula,
Oh, sweet.
But, the final boss for Mega Man was, first you fought Dr. Mario, because it's Dr. Wily. Then you kill him. Then Mewtwo shows up. What? Oh, my God. They're doing the Mega Man 2 thing where Dr. Wily turns into an alien. This is hilarious. Wow.
That's incredible.
Right?
That's really good.
Mm-hmm. Just about lost my mind at that.
And it's funny, there's still a few people out there who are trying to write this off as Smash 4, but with more stuff.
No.
It's not. It's a new game. It's a new
just
game.
Just the small differences of all the characters, both aesthetically, these aren't just model rips.
Like Link is the most obvious one.
Link is
totally
huge.
Updated to be Breath of the Wild Link.
Right. Zelda looks more of her version from Breath, or Link Between Worlds.
Right.
Then even something like Mario, He now has the outfit from Odyssey. And then, like, some characters have different... Like, Ganondorf finally uses his swords for his smash attacks. Luigi uses the Poltergeist 3000 for his throws and stuff. Like, oh my god, this is great. Like, there's all these little changes. Like, even just, like, Kirby, his dash attack is back to being, like, him turning into the fireball, but it's faster now. Smash, like, Solid Snake has a new down smash attack, right? Like, there's all these little differences and tweaks here and there. And I'm like, yes. It's just, it's fun to go back to all the characters. Palutena's a little bit different. Robin has, like, some UI changes. You know, there's all these little things that if you played Smash 4 a bunch, you're going to notice right away.
So, one of the complaints that the internet has is the unlock.
I was shocked. I did not realize people would have a problem with this.
I knew they would, but I also knew it would be unfounded. The only issue I have is it sucks for me to come here and play it where we have unlocked everything on your Switch, and then I go on my Switch and I'm still working my way through it. Because the majority of my playtime is with you guys on your Switch, so I'm like, I'm just not getting that time in.
Right.
But I'll get that. I'm not stressed out about it.
The characters two-way. One, they just kind of, like, every couple fights, they basically, you show one, show
it's
up.
It's based on inputs.
Oh, really?
That's that funny. Way you can't just, like, turn it on and leave it on. It's that's based funny. On how much you're actually pushing. So, playing with multiple people, because everyone's input counts. Okay. That's the fastest. So
just play, like, eight-player Smash against CPUs or something.
But you need eight to be hit, unless you... Or you're mashing all the buttons.
But you know, that happens. You can also, when you unlock characters in World of Light, to like, because you know, in that mode, you just start off as Kirby, then you unlock fighters, and you can also play them in that mode. When you unlock them there, you also unlock them in the game.
It sucks, so you're like, oh boy, oh, it's Donkey Kong.
But I don't know, like, again, for me, I thought that was fun. I like unlocking characters, like, I remember Marvel's Capcom 2, that was a game where, like, half the roster you had to unlock. Yeah, I thought that was fun. I mean, it is unlocked. You only start with the original 9, but again, they're doing the thing where it's the 1 through 64. I'm like, oh, this is neat. I also liked it, too, because when I was playing with my friends, it was like, when a new character unlocked, it's like, oh, now I can play as this character. Like, now I can try this out. But we kind of slowly made our way through the roster with the help of that.
Right, this way I'm not playing Spirits as just Simon Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually mixing it up.
Right. So, I don't know. I still think even if, like, you weren't... Even if you're not trying to cheese it, you're unlocking characters at such a steady pace.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Like, you know, maybe... If
you're playing the game regularly,
if you're frustrated that you didn't go home and, like, immediately get to play as King K. Rool, I don't know. It's one of those things that, in a few weeks, no one's going to talk about again. Right. When everyone unlocks
that one. They're like, what do they do for tournaments? I'm like, use a save file that has all the characters? I don't know. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Everyone, yeah. But, I had no problem with that. I thought it was a fun process. Again, I like unlocking characters. It was the standard in most fighting games until recently, and I guess we're kind of now, like, unused to it.
Well, I think DLC was saying it's like Sakurai, like, he likes all these mobile games but doesn't want to charge you anything. Because there are, like, a lot of, like, mobile game mechanics throughout the whole experience.
Mm-hmm. Like leveling up your spirits and stuff, but you're actually leveling up for them for real, right?
Yeah. So, I have two issues with the game. One's very minor, one's a little more major. The minor one first.
Okay.
I just wish the load time when you try to retry a spirit challenge was quicker.
Yeah, it's a little bit, yeah.
It'd be nice if it was that Meat Boy level thing where it just kind of pops you back and you keep going. Whatever, that's fine. My issue, and for different reasons than I think you guys, online play is pretty stupid. It's bad.
Is the lag bad for you too? Because you're trying to just blame my router.
But here's the thing. And here's what's frustrating. The lag was bad in ARMS. The lag was bad in Mario Tennis Aces. Like, why can't Nintendo figure this out?
Wasn't it fine in Splatoon? Like,
Splatoon was fine.
Splatoon's okay.
Yeah. I don't know why we figured this out 20 years ago. And Nintendo's like, herpader. And it was almost one thing on the Wii U. Because it's like, well, Nintendo, they don't know online. Who cares? Oh, it's just silly Nintendo. But now they're charging you for it.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, that does kind of put it on them to have this actually working.
Mm-hmm.
It's very... And there's the two types of lag that affect this game. Some matches work great. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm good, a good match. Sometimes you're in the one where it's like delay, like I hit jump, and then a half second later, I finally jump. But then there's matches where it's like you're just playing in slow motion.
Yeah.
It's like pick one, at least.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating. I mean, aside from... One of the reasons I like online playing this game, because you guys always play your, you know, two stock, no items, final desk, which is fine. But I kind of like when I play online, I could go play with some items.
Oh, you stage blab! I had no idea.
I think it's funny and fun. Ugh. I want to throw the Pokeballs. No. I mean, what Pokemon are in this game? You guys don't turn it on.
That's right.
Because when we were kids, we used to do like the all Pokeball battle. You won't even do that anymore. Nah.
My bigger, I mean, not bigger issue, but the other issue is the way, like, the main, like, finding opponents works is you put in your preferred rules. It's like, we're going to try to find you a game based on these rules. So I'm like, all right, one versus one, two stock, 7 minutes. That's just the longest. I'm just like, look, I just want to play till someone dies. You know, like, no stage hazards, whatever. I did this, like, 7 times trying to find a game. Every single time I was in a four-player free-for-all.
That is, like, the way it's played, like, professionally. It shocks me you can't find that matchup.
Right. It's like, look, like, don't act like what I'm doing is weird. This is how a lot of people like to play. Again, I'm like, I try so hard not to be like, you know, like, Fox only, Final Test, no items. But look, a lot of people like to play the game this way. Like, that should be some kind of a default choice. Right. I mean, even the last one kind of had it. It was time. But it was like, you know, only Final Destination, no items, like, whatever. But... like, the fact that it's like, here's your preferred rules, put it in, I'm like, all right, and it, like, looks for never. 5 seconds.
Yeah,
it
doesn't even try.
Like, just wait a second, and I'm sure someone else out there is trying to play even just a one versus one match. Just one versus one, I never got that. It's always four-player free-for-all.
Yeah, and same thing with connectivity, too. Like, take your time. Find me one that's not going to lag. Right.
And, like, so the only workaround that is to go to, like, the more, like, when people make lobbies, which is, like, fine, but it's, like, if you lose, you can't have to, like, wait your turn again, and you can't, like, you don't get, like, the SR thing in there, whatever they call it.
Yeah, the ranking.
So, it's, the online's frustrating.
Yeah, I hope it...
It's the only thing that...
I'd like to say something I hope they fix, but they won't.
Right.
They're not going to do anything.
It was the only thing that, like, basically, I haven't scored the game yet because the online didn't come out till when the game launched, and I'll probably write my final review tomorrow, but I didn't score the game yet because, like, without that, it was basically a 100 out of 100 for me. And now I'm like, well, how much does this detract from my enjoyment? Now, I'm not really looking to play online a ton anyways. When I'm by myself, I'm fine just playing against, like, a level 9 computer, going through classic mode, playing spirit mode. Like, I have my friends over here enough to play multiplayer. It's fine.
We've been doing it for how many years now?
Right. Yeah. We've been doing it since Melee pretty regularly. So it's not a bigger issue to me. It is for other people, but, like, I always have to kind of write the review for my experience, right?
Right.
So... But it is just like...
I know, it's like, why couldn't... This could have been... This was their chance, you know? Like, this is their chance to get it right. I mean,
they just straight up, like, not quite get it. I know. And like, it's clear they put time into it.
And for as thorough and as good as the whole rest of the packages, it's like, can't they hire one guy over there who's like, you're in charge of getting this right?
It's weird. Especially as it's like, you have to pay for the online service. And it's like, I mean, I am paying for NES games.
Yeah, at this point...
That's what I am paying for. They're lucky I like NES games.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, come out at, like, a snail's pace. At least the next batch has Ninja Gaiden. That's something interesting again.
I know. They really need to ramp that up, though. Right.
But, ugh. The new characters themselves are really fun, though. I like a lot of them. There's definitely some balance things that seem like
King
some.
K. Rool needs a...
I love playing him so much, but he's very, very good right now.
So, he's, for those who know, he has a combo where... Your down throw just plants the enemy in the ground, like sticks him in the dirt.
Right, and you're stuck in the ground based on how damaged you are. Yeah. So if you're at like 100, you're going to be in there long enough for King K. Rool to just immediately do a down smash and kill you.
Yeah, it's just an auto win combo. Don't let him grab you. Simon Belmont's really good. Like, it's hard for me to say if he's over-tuned.
I think Simon and Richter, their kits are really strong. They actually do have a downside of their comeback's not very good.
Right, and that like might be like the argument for why they are balanced.
It's better than it seems because you can use your whip if you just like attack with A, and it has some distance. But yeah, like King K. Rool also has an incredible comeback that will get him back from anywhere.
Yeah, he's just
and he's also fast and strong and has a lot of projectiles. He's super fun to play as.
Oh yeah, sure.
But Inkling seems very good, but not as like cheap. Maybe
no, Inkling seems pretty balanced.
He has another planting move, but his like a you kind of like have to like, kind of stop yourself after you're doing it. And
it's got a little more skill to pull off the combo. Yeah,
but it's fine.
I think Incineroar. I'm so confused. Like at first blush, he seems bad.
Right,
but I think you just got to really like again terrible recovery. But I think you just got to play him really differently.
Right, but it's not a very exciting character.
Yeah, it could have been cooler.
I mean, it's fine, but it's not all that much fun. Well, Fire doesn't play too much of a part in any of his moves, really.
Right.
I mean, there's some of the wrestling stuff, which is neat, but, like, the big move there is, like, the side B where you kind of just grab him and throw him off the ropes, and they come back at you, and then you hit a button again. It's, like, kind of flashy and cool. It's like, I could probably just, you know, jump at them and push A and attack them.
He's also a character who's not good in, like, better in 1v1 than he is in a four-player
Smash. I like Ridley a lot. I think Ridley's super fun. And he's definitely seems a bit more in the balanced side, like, not cheap, but...
Yeah.
Like, he's not like a slow, lumbering big character, but he still has, like, a lot of impact and stuff.
Yeah, wait.
His moves are kind of interesting, and some are, like, a little different even. Like, his fireballs are different from, like, Mario's fireballs.
Right.
Which is super fun. He just looks really cool. Mm. Like, they really capture, even though, like, he had to be smaller, they're really capturing the kind of ferocity and stuff of Ridley. And then I think Isabelle.
I haven't played a ton of
Isabelle's really fun. It's cool because, like, she is similar to Villager but different in some really neat way.
You can tell, like, they come from the same game, but she plays differently. Like, but the fishing hook's really fun.
Right. She's kind of like a bit more of like a trap kind of character. Like, definitely like a more of a kind of a trickier one, which is, you know, these games need, but. If you like Villager, you probably will like Isabelle. And she's just, you know, funny because it's like Isabelle, this dog mayor assistant who's like always fretting, you know? But, I mean, I absolutely love it. It's basically, you know, online stuff aside, it's basically Smash 4 but better. And I love Smash 4.
Right.
And I'm going to be playing this game. And again, like, it's on the Switch. It's so neat that I could, like, play it in bed. I mean, before, like, we were doing that with Smash 4, but it was like you played the 3DS version.
Yeah, there's no progress. You were playing for the sake of playing,
right, and
which
it was
is fine.
A noticeable visual downgrade, you know? It was fine, again, but I mean, the fact that this is just the same game.
I know, it's just why everything should be on Switch.
It's also probably the first Switch game in a while that I've played a lot of on my TV, too, because, again, once like people are here and playing, we're going to play on the TV.
Like Diablo, I think I played it on my TV once.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So I would only play it when you guys came to play, like...
Because you were, like, the host.
Right, so I would just play mine off the TV while you guys played on your couches. When is that new season? Is that a new season starting soon?
I don't think they've given a date yet. I mean, I'd heard mid-December before, but I had nothing definitive.
I have so many things to play on the Switch right now, though, man.
Oh, it's insane.
It's rough. We'll see.
Well, speaking of more things to play on the Switch, did I talk about the Messenger last week?
That you were playing it? I can't remember.
I just started it.
Yeah.
It's real good.
I loved the Messenger.
Turns out everyone's completely right.
I loved the Messenger.
Very well written.
It is funny.
Yeah, funny game.
I think I'm going to Dr. Pepper. You go on with that.
Okay. Yeah, no, well, I mean, I was going to wrap it up. I have a ton to say. But
talk about that.
I haven't gotten to the... Is it a spoiler to say?
They're pretty clear about advertising.
Okay, so I haven't gotten to the 16-bit segments yet, but I'm looking very forward to it.
Should I get a Diet Dr. Pepper or a beer?
Well, I can't have a beer, so you should get a Diet Dr. Pepper.
All right, I will torment you.
You should give me one, too.
Now you want one.
Oh, yeah, I can pour it in my cup here.
Oh, fun.
Right the wrongs of Chick-fil-A, who gave me a Diet Coke instead of a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Bastards!
Now that everyone knows about my personal struggles, wait, we gotta record that sound. Ready? One, two, three.
Hey.
Nice.
I don't usually get cans anymore. But yeah, right. I was at
everything's bad.
What's wrong?
It's like spilled.
Stop getting stuff on my anime swag from E3 I don't know what to do with. Look at this mess. You're a mess.
I got it.
But, so you talk about the 16-bit thing. Yeah, that's kind of halfway through the game.
Yeah.
So, like, the first part of the game, it's very linear, kind of like a Ninja Gaiden or Castlevania. And then it kind of turns into a Metroidvania after that, which is fun.
So, yeah, I mean, this is my issue, is I always had, like, the game I was playing at lunchtime on my Switch, but now I've got multiples, and I'm like, what do I do?
It's kind of... Yeah, no, I was, like, halfway through Pokemon, and it kind of took a break to play... through all of Smash. And
I'm glad I beat the Elite Four before Smash came out. I still gotta go get my Mewtwo and get the Legendary Birds.
And there's like already, like all this stuff's happening and it's already like, here's the new indie game you gotta play. Everyone's like, Monster Boy's really good. I'm like, oh god.
Right. So the other game, and what was my lunchtime game until this week, and I'll finally talk about it. You guys all have to play Starlink. Yeah, everyone needs to listen to me.
You love Starlink.
It's so good, and they did such a bad job marketing this game. Because everyone I talk to, the immediate is, I don't want to, Toys to Life, no, Disney Infinity, not again. I get it, and I agree. But here's what they don't tell you. You don't have to do it. They sell a digital version for $60 that gets you everything except, I believe, 3 ships.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the deluxe edition for 20 more, you get one of those ships and some more stuff. And then 2 of the ships are retailer exclusive, GameStop and Target. But you don't need them. Ships are, there's stat differences, but essentially they're extra lives.
Mm-hmm.
If you blow up, you swap the ship body, you keep going. So the game itself, it's It's very much a Ubisoft open world game. You're just in spaceships.
Mm-hmm. It's like that mixed with Star Fox.
Yes.
And quite literally when you start playing the Star Fox
thing. And not even, I mean, Star Fox kind of. Obviously, it's not like on rails or
anything.
Right, well,
there's RPG, because I did play this at E3, and there are like kind of RPG elements. Like, I liked how you kind of like had to, like, not salvage the word, but you kind of like grapple hooked and like pull back to like get loot.
Right. And so there's tons of mods for both your ships and your weapons. And so if you're playing with the toys, the whole hook of it is... The ships, the pilots, the wings, and the weapons are all modular. You can mix and match whatever you want. You can even stack three wings on each other and create all kinds of monstrosities. So with the physical toys, whatever you make, you snap into the game and boom, there it is. There's all the elemental weapons, gravity, fire, ice, that kind of thing. So you're always looking for elemental weaknesses, elemental combos. So if you make a vortex and shoot a fire weapon into it, it becomes a fire vortex.
A torcano.
If you're playing it digitally, then you're just going into a menu and doing all this stuff. But you could do all the same things.
That's like the plot, like in world building of it. Because when I played it, it seemed kind of a bit Saturday morning cartoonish for my taste.
It is, but it, like a good Saturday morning cartoon is how I put it. So the basic setup of the plot is you're on the crew of
the Starlink,
the ship called the Equinox.
Oh,
the kind of the supposedly main character. It's really an ensemble thing, but he's like the guy who invented Starlink, which is this technology that allows you to teleport the ship components and pilots and modules. Which is like the in-game explanation for why your ship is constantly just modding on the fly. So you go to this distant solar system from Earth to try to help find the origins of one of your crew members, Judge, who is like one of those, like, he's like basically a bunch of bugs in a suit. Like one of those alien hive mind things.
Like Googie Boogie Man?
Yes, but good.
Okay.
So that's like the setup. And then you get to this solar system and your ship is immediately attacked. And you're the leader, right, scientist guy, St. Grant's kidnapped. Because he knows how to create this very rare energy source. And these bad guys who are kind of the Covenant from Halo.
Yeah.
They think like they're foretold by the prophets to rise up. They want him. So that's like your setup. You're trying to save him and stop these guys. And the game is very much like the No Man's Sky thing. You seamlessly fly in space, fly down to the planet's surface, all seamless, you know, no loading, nothing. And then, you know, when you get to a planet, the basic gameplay loop is the planet's under control by the Legion. You need to build outposts, defenses, by clearing them out, building over top of them, destroying their resource towers. And then eventually, once you've destroyed enough towers, you weaken the Prime, which is this big walking tank thing.
Mm-hmm.
Take that thing out. That's like a boss fight. That's planet level. Once you've taken enough Primes, then the Dreadnought orbiting overhead becomes vulnerable. Now you go attack the Dreadnought.
Is there like an end game to this? Or
I don't know. I mean, I assume the story ends. I haven't beaten it yet. But these fights are so cool. They're so intricate. Like, and I when I did the second Prime, I thought, oh, another Prime. But like they change it up. Like there's new phases to the fight. And I don't want to say they are because it kind of ruins it, but like the first Dreadnought fight ends with you, like, you've blown up all these turrets, you fight off all these waves of enemies, you fly into an exhaust port, then you go like Return of the Jedi Death Star style through this thing, blow it up from the inside and make your way out. I'm like, this is incredible! Then on top of all that, you get for Switch, it's a Star Fox game! And what I love, because like the plot is you're recruiting all these aliens. Well, Fox McCloud's an alien, sure. You're on the crew too. Like they just slot right into the story. They're in the CG cutscenes. Like they're supposed to be there. Like I genuinely don't know what it looks like without them. It's so good. So what I did was Black Friday, the starter kit was on sale for $35, so I got that. So I have my R-Wing model, which is a super nice model. So the digital box was on sale, bought that, traded in my physical copy. GameStop to get their exclusive ship, and then just bought the one at Target. So I have everything.
I have everything.
When you scan a
physical... Are you just playing as an R-Wing anyways?
Most of the time. unless I die, then I switch to something else. When you scan something in, it becomes in your digital inventory for 7 days. So like, which is important for the Switch, because if you take it to go, as long as you've been playing, you have all your stuff.
Right.
You know, all the Toys Life stuff aside, it's just a good game. It's a good space combat game.
How does it look? Because when I played A3, it was a little rough
performance-wise. I think it looks really good.
What's the frame rate here?
Frame rate seems solid. Resolution, I could tell, is a little lower on Switch. I'm sure on the Xbox and PS4, it's like 4K and everything. I think it's running off the... What's that Ubisoft's engine they use for The Division?
I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, I think it's the same engine.
Yeah, I almost said Frostpunk. That's EA.
No, that's EA's. I mean, it's just a good, fun game. Right. I really like it.
I'll tell you what, I'm not going to get to it this year.
I know, that's the thing. I mean, I get it. There's like a million games outside, and everyone's like, oh, like, not enough time. But it's just so good.
Yeah, it's right. I wish more
people would play it.
So I got PlayStation VR. Which
you did.
Which, it's fine, because I've kind of been anti-VR. I've not gotten any of the VR stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally actually did want a PlayStation VR because everyone's going on about Astrobot.
Right.
Which you're like, and you know, if you want to get me invested in something, talk about, like, compare a game to Super Mario 64.
Right.
You know, which is one of my all-time favorites. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm interested. And then I got this thing, and I got Astrobot 2. So, after the somewhat lengthy setup processes with all the cables and everything.
Sure.
And, like, the separate box, which is kind of fun, because it's sort of almost like, oh, this is a big thing, right?
Yeah, you gotta plug all this stuff in.
So I put it on. First I booted up Tetris Effect, because that was, like, ready to go, and I was like, all right, let's do this. And that's pretty nuts playing that in VR.
Right.
Pretty cool. But Astrobot is just so much fun. You played a couple levels, too.
I played two levels.
I've only played three so far, to be fair.
I own an Oculus Rift. I've played many VR games across many genres. That was hands down the best VR game I've ever played.
Right?
Hands, not even close.
Because it's like...
So let's explain what the game is. It's ostensibly a third-person... it's a platformer in the style of Mario.
Mario, almost Crash Bandicoot-ish in the way the levels are kind of like... a corridor, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's more...
But it's much
open
more
movement.
Right. Like, you are collecting these robots almost kind of like stars. Almost more like in the Mario 3D Land might be.
Yeah, the closest. Well said, yeah.
Mario 3D Land.
But the whole trick too is you always see the DualShock 4 controller floating in front of you, like in its actual position. So you can, you know, as you're pushing buttons, moving the sticks, you see all that stuff moving. And the game just does these. It doesn't affect anything, but it's just all these really cute things where, like, every time you save an Astrobot, they, like, fly towards your face, they give you a little wave, and then they leap into your controller, and that's where you're storing them as you're trying to save all these little guys.
It's just all these real cute, clever touches. Like, when you're... Because you're mostly planted from your perspective, and you'll kind of move along a rail if you keep going further down the level, but a lot of times, the guy's going left or right, and you're kind of, like... looking around.
Yeah, you're forced to, like, tilt your
head.
And
a lot of times you're looking around, like, sometimes you kind of, like, peek down to see, oh, there's a bot down there. I wouldn't really have noticed if I didn't peek around. I don't know if you noticed this, but there's, like, chameleons hidden in some levels.
And
you only unlock them if you kind of stare at them for a bit.
Well, on the second level, there were, like, these, like panels that, and the way you activate them was to headbutt them to, like, break through them and stuff would happen. Mm. There was one little sequence where it parked me as the camera. I was right next to a wall. As I moved the Astrobot, I had to, like, lean forward and then lean back just to see where he was going. It's so clever.
Right.
And like, you feel like a character in the world.
Right. It's relatively simple. I mean, you have, like, a jump and an attack button, and you can, like, hover and your jump, but it's all very precise. It feels really good. But, yeah, it's like, so clever with using, like, the VR aspect of it, right? And, like, it's a 3D platformer. You don't... Like, we played Lucky's Tale, and that was, like, fine.
Well, again, I think Jeff Tanata said this. Lucky's Tale felt like a 3D platformer you played in VR.
Yeah.
This is a VR platformer.
It's super,
like,
neat.
Made from the ground up for VR.
And it's like AAA, like, fantastic production.
Oh, yeah.
Production,
like, that
value.
Little opening cutscene where the Astrobots
so
kind of show up and they get... You see what happens to them. And it's like all... It does... It's very smart. It does that thing that VR is so good at, where stuff gets in your face.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, it's in my personal space, back off. Like, there's a cool thing to play with scale at the end of the first level.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff's fun
in VR. Like, ideally, this would have been the launch game, like, bundled with every PlayStation
like,
VR.
Like, it kills me that this is a Sony-developed game and won't come to Oculus.
It alone makes, like, PlayStation VR, like...
This is...
I'll tell you what.
This is a system seller.
It's the one I want out of all those, like, even if, like, the other ones are slightly better... Because it has... First off, actually, the headset is very comfortable.
Yeah, I was going to say. So, again...
It looks cool, too.
What makes it different from Oculus, it doesn't have a strap over your head.
Yeah.
But the way it holds, it kind of sits a little higher on your forehead compared to the Oculus. I think it's way more comfortable.
It's super comfortable.
It's much... The screen quality, it's not as bad as I was expecting. Based on just kind of what I read, and knowing that, you know, obviously my Oculus is being run by a 1080. Yeah. So I thought the screen quality would be worse, but really it was totally fine.
My only problem is I fog the thing up constantly. And I'm having some kind of a sensor issue with the camera where sometimes it like will lose track of
me. And that was the thing too. Even aside from like the freak outs where I'm like, whoa, where am I? But like even like if I'm holding the controller steady, it's never steady.
Something. It was working. I had it working better for me there. The problem too is like where I put in my camera right now, it's like on top of my soundbar and blocking my TV. So I'm like, when I'm not using the place VR, I have to move that.
Yeah,
so every time I'm constantly kind of messing with it, which probably isn't great for my setup. But yeah, I mean, it's super fun and I'm kind of happy to own this. Now, like, there's all these VR games I can get. It actually, the one I got came with that Creed game, which I haven't tried yet.
You got that. Play super hot because Super Hot VR is very fun.
I put that in, so I have to install that still. And then it was on sale right now, Star Trek Bridge Crew, which was like the other only other reason I ever wanted VR. So,
and that's got cross platforms. So we're gonna play that this week.
We're gonna play it tonight, maybe. If you want.
Not tonight. Tomorrow.
I want to try it so bad, please.
You try it. You learn the game, so I don't have to teach it to you, and then we'll play it.
So who do I play with?
Random people online,
but
or the AI.
How many missions are there? I don't want to go through all the missions.
It's randomly generated.
The missions are. Wait, you keep redoing missions?
No. It's like procedurally generated missions.
Oh, so I never run out.
There's not a campaign.
Oh, so every mission is different?
I think, if I remember.
Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, the big thing I really want to do is unlock the or buy the TNG Next Generation stuff.
Oh my God. I think they still have it set up where if you play with AI, it uses Watson, so you get to give voice commands to the other seats.
There's a microphone just on the PlayStation VR, right?
I believe so.
So I don't need like a thing. Yeah. Okay. Man, and then what else I need? Beat Saber. Well,
Moss is worth checking out. Beat Saber's incredible. Saber. I have that on Oculus. Right.
But
what else? I gotta look at the back of this demo. I know that Farpoint's supposed to be good, but you need that controller for it.
Right.
Dino Frontier's supposed to be very good. It's kind of an RTS that you play using the touch controls.
It's fun because it almost feels like I have a new video game system, you know?
In a way, yeah. Well, especially now, like, the platform's matured. There's a lot of good games out there for it. Job Simulator
will be fun. Just to kind of mess around with. Oh, I can get that. Is that Rick and Morty thing on
PSVR? I was just going to say, I don't know if that came to the PSVR or not. I know it's on Oculus.
I would like to just play that for fun. That'd be a good one to, like, show my friends.
Yeah, who would like it. But I'm glad you're on the VR wagon.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I was very skeptical, but this, like, Astrobot almost specifically is, I guess.
Right, it's like, it's just, and it's like, incredible. Yeah,
as long as I, like, don't play, like, I haven't gotten, like, sick yet. There's, like, some moments where, but, like, I had that problem big when I would do your Oculus, but I think I'm okay.
Certain games handle it, but, I mean, like, you know, you if the first VR game you ever played was, like, Skyrim VR, and you turn off all the assists, so you're just moving,
I can't do that. I'm not gonna be able to like do that or Resident Evil or like Borderlands 2.
We gotta do Resident Evil VR.
No,
Come on, please.
Do that. That stuff gets me sick. If it's just like you can't expect me to do full on like twin stick controls while just like sitting down in VR, it really messes with me. All right.
Dauntless.
Oh, you started playing.
Is the thing I started. So Dauntless is the PC free-to-play Monster Hunter-esque game that came out. I think it started a couple years ago. It's been an open beta for like a year.
Yeah, but it's like this year it really kind of ramped up.
Well, they announced at the Game Awards, which we could talk about after this too, I guess, that they're coming to console in April, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch and mobile after that, and they're Fortnite-style, being completely cross-platform, cross-progression, which is what got me really interested in the game. It's funny because this game, they started before Monster Hunter Worlds was, like, even announced.
Yeah.
See, you know, it doesn't quite have all the bells and whistles that game has. It's a little simpler, which is kind of nice in a way.
I guess. I kind of like the bells and whistles. That's the thing. Monster Hunter World is so good. I have it. And, like, really haven't played enough of it. Now there's stuff coming to that. Now they announced
a bunch of stuff there. But what I mean, like, it's not like, I'm trying to remember, like, a Shrieker, I think is the name of the one monster. It doesn't like potentially drop one of 20 different pieces. It just drops Shrieker pieces, and that like that's all you need. Graphically, it has this really cool like kind of flat muted style that I really dig. There's six weapons in the game. The sixth one apparently just came out, like the guns. But I've been playing with the hammer. The way the hammer works, it's a hammer with a shotgun built into it.
Of course.
So you can either shoot like burst shots with it as like an interrupt. But as you're swinging, you can shoot it as you're swinging to make the swing stronger. So, like, the basic combo is, like, swing and shoot, and then after you've shot, reload, and swing and shoot, and keep doing that. But you can also, like, shoot into the ground and launch yourself in the air for aerial attacks, and Yeah, it's super rad. And what it does so much better than Monster Hunter is actually playing online with other people. Monster Hunter World, you like go into another room and there's like 12 people there and you can play maybe with three of them. I still don't understand it. This game, you just like, it's kind of like a world quest and wow. It's just like, I'm hunting this. Who else is? Mm-hmm. Okay, we found you three people. Go get it.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Especially once this becomes like on the Switch.
Yeah,
that'll be great. No, just probably. To bounce back and forth. Like, that'll be incredible. And it's free. It's totally worth checking out.
Right. What did you think of the Game Awards this year? I thought it was pretty...
I enjoyed it.
Pretty good show.
That Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 reveal...
That's cool.
Very nice.
That was unexpected.
Very nice.
Switch exclusive. Like, published by Nintendo.
I mean, it's cool, but it's weird.
It's what I want to play it on.
Team Ninja.
Yeah, right? Well, I guess Nintendo's had a relationship with... I mean, Team Ninja made Metroid Other M, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like, they've made games for them, so make some sense, I guess.
Like, but, how did they get Ultimate Alliance? Like, that's such a weird leap.
You could see it, but... I mean, you know, Diablo 3 is already great on Switch. So.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
This is a perfect fit for that, so that'll be fun.
Everyone is flipping out about Mortal Kombat 11.
Like, what do you mean? Like, they're real excited?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I get it, but, like, I could have told you at any point, well, I'm sure they're making another Mortal Kombat 11, and we got, like, a CG trailer. It's like, it's Raiden fighting Scorpion. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it'll be a great game.
The last two have been really good.
But, like, it's not like that trailer sold me on it. Yeah. Like, okay. That's what I expect. I mean, it'll be good.
I mean, it's definitely one of the bigger games announced, right?
Yeah.
And they kind of held it off.
What else was announced?
Well, that was the one of the, like, the big things was Joker coming to Smash Brothers.
Yeah, that was
from
cool.
Persona 5, which was, like, real surprising.
Honestly, I'm shocked it didn't happen. I hope it happens soon, is that they announced Persona 5 for Switch.
I mean, it has to.
Right?
Like, that feels first so off, this now. Is happening. Second off, why not anyway? Like, I assume that Atlas likes money. I assume, yeah, it's going to happen. It is weird that, like, they didn't announce it just then. It's going to happen. I'm curious to see how much Persona 5 you actually play when that happens.
I will play it.
Yeah, I bet you'll play some. I don't think you're going to beat it. I wish you would.
Hey, you never know.
But, I mean, I love Persona 5, so this is really cool to me. Like, we're going to have a Persona level in the game. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Maybe we'll get some spirits from, like, Persona 3 and 4. Huh? I have, like, the Persona 3 and 5 dancing games, which for God knows I'm going to be able to touch those. Because I actually got a code for Assassin's Creed, so I could try it for Game of the Year consideration. Everyone goes on how much they like it, so I need to play that a bit. I haven't really touched Hitman 2. I actually need to do the last level of Hitman 1 first. I have to beat Red Dead, which I'm, like, still enjoying Red Dead now, and, gosh, there's so many things. It's
insane.
It's exhausting.
Insane.
It's exhausting, and now...
And it's funny, because when I looked at the calendar, in my head I was like, oh, End of the Year's not going to be too bad.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I mean, I'm still playing Assassin's Creed. That game is blowing my mind at how good it is. I can't believe how good it is.
And people are like, Ashen's really good. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
I'm not playing Ashen.
Thank God that's on Game Pass, and so is Below coming next week. Those two games I would have felt like the pressure to buy, even though I have no time to play them.
Game Pass? That's good. I could try it, I guess.
Yeah. Ashen and Below.
That's early access, though, so I don't have to really think of it as Game of the Year. Or did
what?
We... Ashen?
Is no, it? That's out.
Oh, God damn it.
Hades is early access on
Super
the
Giant.
Epic... Store.
Yeah, that will be cool. I like Supergiant. I never liked anything they did quite as much as Bastion.
Yeah, I've heard good things about this, but it's early access. Like, there's only like six levels.
It looks kind of like roguelike Bastion, right? Is that what the kind of
seems gesture? Like it? Yeah,
that's what I'm kind of getting. But you know, that's fine. I'll take that. What have you been thinking of the Hearthstone expansion? Rush.
It's really good.
Have you played my card yet?
Which one's your card?
Blast Wave. Which is it's
oh yes, I have some, it's in my mage deck.
Some people are running it in odd mage. It's not a dead card. I don't know if it's going to stay in there, but people are running it.
No, I'm playing odd mage, and it is in there, and you know,
gives you a little bit of value right at the end.
Well, there's that three drop that gives
cat.
You yeah,
black cat
spell damage. So yeah, I use it quite a bit. That's kind of been my two primary decks so far has been odd mage and spell hunter because I got Vol'jin.
Well, for some reason I was real adamant about making like a deck with like a lot of the new Rush cards and Dragon cards for Warrior, which I call Dragon Rush. And I like the deck a lot. It's not very good right now, because it's a mid-range deck, and I don't think mid-range really has a place in Hearthstone anymore. It's actually sad a bit. Like,
yeah.
It's either you gotta be really aggressive and kill them real fast, or
just complete control.
Like, well, there's so many infinite value cards now. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, Kingsbane Rogue, just, you know, they always get that thing. There's, even that new, like, Paladin card that keeps, like, it's like a minion that keeps an enchantment, so it just keeps coming back when you kill it. Like, when you kill it, it shuffles in the deck, so it's like, well, I guess they never run out of cards. Okay. Right. You know, just typical things like the Death Knights or the hero cards in general always give you infinite value. Like, my Warrior deck has Dr. Boom, so that's something, but sometimes it's not quite enough.
I've also been playing a kind of new version of Evolve Shaman.
Yeah, the one with that card that, like, or with the Krogwa Evolve Shaman?
No, it's not Krogwa. I don't have Krogwa. I have the other guy. What's his name? It's like the new troll guy they introduced from. I forget his name. Mm. His thing is when you cast... I have this right. I only played the deck a couple times. When you cast the spell, it also affects the targets to the side.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
And so you're playing the Unstable Evolution and involving three things for one mana over and over and over, and it's insane value. It's fun. Actually, I like Evolve because I like the randomness of it.
I actually wanted to play On Mage, but like I'm missing so many cards for it.
I had everything I need.
I don't have Frostless Jaina. I don't have that new Janala, the one that gives you the Ragnaros.
Yeah, that was one of the ones I opened.
Yeah, and then there was like other ones I didn't. There's a lot of special cards.
You need Baron Geddon.
I don't even have Geddon.
Oh, really?
There's three legendaries I don't have.
You need Baron Geddon. You need... Is that one of the legendaries I have in that deck? I think so.
Yeah. So there's a lot I had to do there. But yeah, seems like fun. Alright, is that it then?
Yeah, I think that does it.
Alright, well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, episode 500. Oh, baby. Woo-hoo. Here's to 500 more, right? This is another 10 years.
Yeah.
We'll be in our 40s, but that's okay.
I'll have teenagers.
Oh, God.
Good Lord.
Yeah. I had a very nice birthday, by the way. Thank
you. That was a fun weekend. We did all the things.
Went to the Cheesecake Factory.
There you go.
What the heck?
Everyone, I wanted to kill myself after
people
that.
Are trying to Guy Fieri or Nickelback the Cheesecake Factory now. Like, you leave Cheesecake Factory alone. And in fact, matter of fact, leave Guy Fieri alone. Also, Nickelback, cool off. Who cares? But,
you know, there's a stand-up comic who does that exact same joke about Guy Fieri and Nickelback.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I was defending Guy Fieri for years. Nickelback, I maybe didn't rush it.
I didn't know if you just came to that joke on your own or if you were taking it from this guy. Okay.
But thanks for telling everybody I'm a thief. But that bit is very funny. All right. So, yeah. But, you can find more of us at eppodcast.com. You know, you can find us everywhere. Facebook, Twitter. We have a Discord. We're on all the podcast stores. You know, we're everywhere. So, yeah. Thanks. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.